shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Because he's more of an entertainer, and he's a happy, rich man with a happy family.
It's there. It's right there. You don't have to look far. You don't have
to
stare.
It contains valerian root extract, rose hips extract.
I am Stephen Hawking. I do not believe in God or the afterlife. It is a fairy tale. I do believe firmly in one thing. You should listen to the Phil Hendry Show. I have a backstage pass to keep me entertained.
Thank you, Doc. World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Not only do we have Hawking as a fan, but...
My name is Roger Ebert. I love the Phil Hendry Show, and I think Keith Olbermann is a closet homosexual.
All right. Anyway, boy, cats are...
That wife doesn't do it too good. My guy got a mechanical voice and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, things are a little rough in the world. Some of our favorite people have mechanical voices, Roger Ebert and Stephen Hawking, although Stephen Hawking's had his for a long time. And I knock wood.
That was glass.
Well, it's not really glass. It's just, anyway, you don't have to tell people that I don't talk with a mechanical voice someday.
Your lips to God's ears.
Thank you very much, bud.
Knock wood.
Right. All right, coming up, we're going to... What are you doing?
It's not wood.
I told you it wasn't wood. Get out of here. Anyway, coming up this hour, Margaret Gray is supposed to pay us a visit. She's going to sing. She's going to reprise her singing of I'm Calling You or whatever the hell. Whatever that song was.
But I laugh, man. She's going to be pissed off.
All right. Well, it was pretty funny. What's the name of the song?
It's called Calling You from
Baghdad Cafe.
Yeah.
Bad bag. So she's going to be on here. And a couple of other things that we're going to get to here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show this hour. 877-876-7445 on the Phil Hendry Show website, philhendryshow.com. If you go over there for a backstage pass, you get thousands of hours of archive material. You get our video archives, which are up to 5 days. We save our video casts up to 5 days, but we also save the odd video rant in ad infinitum. And we also have, of course, our daily podcasts, our archived audio, our classic Phil podcasts, our news feed, our blogs, your love, and my parental instincts. And plus our shop, the Phil Hendry Show merchandise store. Head on over there and pick up a new Phil Hendry Show T-shirt, baby. As a matter of fact, we have it there for you on our video feed right now. We have that baby in large. We got it in extra large. We got it in... What are the sizes, bud?
We got large, extra large, double X, and triple X.
Triple X. And we got the triple X because, and I say this with great love, I got a lot of fat slobs that listen to the show. I'm one of them. Don't worry about it. And one of our fans, one of our listeners in Alaska, the cat's a truck driver, he said, Phil, you know, you got to get some sizes in there, man, that I can wear. So that's what we did do. So check it out at philhendryshow.com. That's our shop. Now, I was talking to Rance. You guys wanted to hear this, right?
Yeah, about that. You talking about something you did this weekend on a diet.
You're on a diet now.
I'm on a diet. And, who isn't on a diet? I'm on a diet, but I'm on a major diet. And and I've lost about 25 pounds, and I feel good about that. But every now and again, you blow it out. Calorically, you blow it out. By that, I mean you just go off your diet and you eat something that you shouldn't. They're saying more and more that that's not such a terrible thing, you know?
Yeah, well, that's because your body is going to get used to it.
Well, but I mean, what they're saying that, you know, every now and again, if you go off of your diet and you eat like you used to, what's happening is the body doesn't necessarily go into starvation mode. It thinks, oh, we're getting back to normal eating. Because if you are... If the body perceives that you are losing fat, then the body may go into this starvation mode, which is it'll hold on to. You won't lose as much weight as you wanted to because the body is holding on to it because it is thinking there's a famine on or there's not any food, so we need to retain energy. It's not quite as drastic as it sounds. It can happen in a very, very small way, but nonetheless... The thinking is that if you go on a diet and then every so often you go off the diet and eat the way you used to, that the body adjusts a little bit better. Now, The thing that happened to me yesterday, though, had nothing to do with the diet.
Yeah, well, you're nuts.
Well, thanks, bud. Whatever that means.
Yeah, you're just nuts.
All right, so I'm nuts. What happened to me yesterday was quite different. For some reason, I was not able to sleep very well this past week. And on Saturday night, after I got off of the KFI show, we do our Saturday night show locally in Los Angeles that ends at 10 o'clock. And all right, so fine. So it ends at 10 o'clock. And so I was on the phone, you know.
What's that?
Well, it's like a phone, except it's a phone. No, I was on the phone. I don't know why I said phone, you know.
Well, it's all right. It could be a phone. Was it like a cell phone?
Yes, it was a cell phone. Get out of here, a cell phone. Anyway, I was on the phone talking to Barry Louise, and then I got off the phone, and I made a little bit of dinner, watched a little bit of Tube, which is what I usually do. That's how sexy and exciting my Saturday nights are. You know, I mean, let's face it, man. These days, during these recessionary times, Jack, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm just working and sleeping. That's it, if I can. And if I can't, that sucks. So I am up all night. Well, on Sunday, now rolls around Sunday, and now I'm feeling really crappy. And the food that I'm eating, which is, like I said, I'm on this paleo diet. It's this just a caveman diet of meat and veggies and meat and veggies, and that's it. And it's so boring. And for some reason, it doesn't feel like it's kicking my blood sugar up. By late afternoon, I felt horrible, man. I felt like I wanted to just jump in the ocean and never come up, you know.
Were you depressed or something? You want to kill yourself?
Well, I wasn't depressed like I wanted to kill myself. I just was just dragging. I felt down. I felt biochemically just jacked up, man. It was not good. And plus, you know, here at the El Pacifico, when the summer hits, and on the Phil TV and HD image, you're looking at a non-typical May day. That's a very beautiful picture outdoors. We are showing you a shot of the beach. The sun's out, and there's the Channel Islands. But generally here in the summertime, we got cloudy skies because the fog gets sucked in. So I was just bummed out. I didn't know what to do. I did know what to do, but I didn't want to do it, you know.
What'd you do?
Well, I'm going to tell you what I did. And I was down on myself, and I thought, you know, if that's what I need, then that's what I need. I went to the store, I looked in the freezer section, and there was a half gallon of ice cream. I don't know what kind it was, but it was like a fudge vanilla something or other, right?
Oh, my God. You went home and you binged-eated.
I didn't binge-eated.
Well, what'd you do?
I went home and had ice cream, man.
You binged.
I didn't binge. Binged eat it. I had some ice cream.
How much?
Hey, you know what? What are you guys? What is that?
How much did you have? Did you eat the whole half gallon or did you not?
Over 2 days.
Aha!
Well, I did, man.
I knew it, man.
But I got to tell you, here's the thing I want to tell you. I ate that half gallon of ice cream, man. And I never felt better in my life.
Really?
Absolutely. That's all I needed. That's all I needed. And I ate that half gallon of ice cream. I felt fantastic. I slept like a baby. Isn't it? It's crazy. Now, I'm talking to a friend of mine today. And she says to me, well, you know what that was? I said, no, I don't know what that was. She said, you were feeling so bad, and you were feeling a little depressed about life. I said, yeah, I kind of was. She said, and you needed something from when you were 5 years old. I said, why would that, because she's a doctor. I said, why would that make me feel as good as it did?
Well, I mean, what kind of doctor? Is she a physical doctor or is she a head shrinker?
That's none of your business.
That means head shrinker.
That's none of your business. Head shrinker.
Yeah, I knew it.
All right, so anyway, she said, well, that is you returning to your five-year-old days. You were feeling bad. You were bumming. Your life sucked. You had this and that and on your mind, everything else. And you just wanted something that was going to make you feel like you were a little kid again, and you were just, there was no problems in the world. And I said, you know, you may be right, you know, because I don't know why. I said, I thought I was just craving sugar because there's no sugar in my diet. She goes, a little bit of that. Yeah, sugar's, you know, we're all like addicted to sugar. She goes, but the feeling you got was way far in excess of any good feeling sugar's going to give you, which, of course, is going to give you a lift. She said, you got a psychological lift from that, didn't you? I go, yeah, I did. She goes, that was you reverting to the age of like a little kid, and all you wanted was little kid stuff, you know?
You ever eat a half gallon of ice cream when you were five? That's the dickest thing that I ever heard.
She's not saying I ate a half gallon of ice cream.
Then what's she saying? Then you reverted.
Bud, you got to be the stupidest guy I ever talked to in my life. Don't you understand what she's talking about?
I know what she's saying.
No, but this idiot. She's saying, if you're a five-year-old kid, what did you have when you were five?
I don't know.
Well, did you have ice cream? Do you think maybe you had ice cream?
I don't think so. I had pizza.
Did you have ice? All right, pizza.
But I'm never craving pizza.
You know something? You're just dumb, man. That's all there is to it. You're just dumb. When you're a little kid, you like ice cream. Most normal kids, not you.
But, you know.
And so that's what I did. And I felt fantastic. And I'm telling you, I never felt better. I never felt better in my life, but I felt fantastic.
Well, man, sometimes that's what you need, you know. I mean, who knows? You know, who knows?
Only the shadow knows, man, I think. But I had the ice cream, and that was the end of that. That's all I needed. Today I'm back on the diet, you know, but yeah, sometimes you just have to bust it up, and psychologically you may be doing a good job. You know, I've lost, like I said, a lot of weight, but you may be thinking, oh, this is great, you know, but the day, especially on a weekend. And I think the thing that was bumming me out more than anything else is I have given up cigarettes over the last year and a half. I don't really drink. You know, man, I've battened down the hatches, dude. I barely have any contact with any friends or anything. The only contact I have is with people that I work with. It's just been basically a work mode for me for the last 4 years, you know. And so around rolls, the only day off of the week that I got. And what am I doing? I'm sitting there eating the same damn thing, you know.
Yeah, like nothing changed during the week.
It's like it's not even a day off. So I want to have a day off, so I go and I eat ice cream, you know.
Like last week, you said you left the Triscuits or something?
Triscuits? No, you mean the Wheat Thins?
Yeah.
That's what happened last week. That, you know, I'm in the market, and what was the big treat that the real big deal treat that I gave myself last week? Wheat Thins. Big deal. Big deal. And guess what I do? I leave them in the store.
Why didn't you go get them?
I was too lazy.
See, that's the thing. I don't understand that.
I didn't want to do it.
You could have got those Wheat Thins back, man. You let the store have them back. You paid for them.
I didn't want to go.
You're not very motivated.
Yeah, that's right, bud. There's all kinds of stuff wrong with me. All right. We'll be back here on a world-famous Phil Henry show. Margaret Gray coming up later to sing. We have some news that we need to get to. And one other thing that I forgot about. Oh, I'll remember. 877-876-7445. 877-876-PHIL. Oh, there's a drinking game. There's a drinking game. I don't know how widespread, based on me. I don't think it's very widespread at all, but I thought it was interesting, so we'll talk about it. We come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL and online at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. You have live streaming video of our show, Phil TV in HD, as well as all of the archives of the show going back thousands and thousands of hours, as well as our daily podcast. In fact, if you're watching our show right now, Margaret Gray is joining us online she's joining us by way of phone from Santa Monica. And Saturday night, we had you on the show. David, you're there as well. And Saturday night, we had Margaret on the show singing, calling you from Baghdad Cafe.
That is correct. And we want to congratulate Margaret because she will be starring in a stage version of Baghdad Cafe that we are going to mount to my production company. And it'll be opening in Los Angeles next week. So, Margaret, take it away.
Thank you. Phil, how are you this evening? First of all, thank you for having me on again. I know you had me on Saturday night.
Well, it's good to have you back.
And I want to tell everyone that we're excited about doing Baghdad Cafe, and I will be singing one of what I think is one of the most beautiful songs ever written, Calling You.
It's a gorgeous song.
And the part that I'm working on, Phil, is a little difficult. You know, you don't know Javetta Steele, but you know her version.
Well, Javetta Steele's version of Calling You, yeah, that's the, I guess, the signature version.
Well, there's a part where she goes, can't you hear me now? You know that part?
Yes, I do.
That's the part I'm working on. So it goes, a desert rose from Vegas to nowhere, a little bounce, blah, 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 coffee, music. I'm calling you, can't you hear me now? You know.
Yeah, I know.
Well, go ahead.
Well, she wants to make sure that you know the part so that you don't think that she's screwing it up on purpose.
Yeah, okay, I know the part.
Then say it.
He's very slow.
You're a little slow, Phil.
By the way, I heard that, Miss Gray.
What did you hear?
He's a little slow.
Well, Phil, I'm sorry, but you are. You know, here, you deal with him and then I'll
deal with you. So,
you'll deal with me, huh?
Yeah, she's getting ready to sing. So, anyway, Phil, here's Margaret Gray, and she's going to sing Calling You from, I forget, you guys messed it up. It was called a bad Bag.
Baghdad Cafe.
All right. Go ahead.
Here is Calling You, Phil, from Baghdad Cafe, a gorgeous song. A desert road from Vegas to nowhere. A little cafe just around the bend. A coffee machine that needs some fixing. Somewhere better than where you've been. I am calling you.
Can't you hear me now, Rob?
Okay, come on.
Did you just interrupt me?
Yes, I did. What do you mean, can't you hear me now?
Oh, my God.
Why'd you interrupt her?
Are you kidding me? She's playing it for laughs.
No, she's not.
I can't hit that note, Phil.
Well, you barely hit the high notes on that. I'm sorry, but you did.
How dare you? You know something? Saturday night, you were very complimentary.
Saturday night, you sounded like you had your voice in tune. Tonight, it's a little harsh.
Well, excuse me, Mr. Henry. I'm so sorry that I'm screwing up your Monday night.
Margaret, it sounded like...
No, I know what you said.
You're going to try it again, Phil. And this time...
Well, if she's like, I'm calling you... Can't you hear me now?
I didn't do that.
The hell, you didn't do that, bud.
Yeah, it sounded pretty harsh, hardcore to me.
Yeah, it sounded kind of butch.
Butch? You two, those two retards that work...
Please don't use that word.
She's allowed. All right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Margaret Gray.
She's allowed.
With Calling You.
A desert road from Vegas to nowhere. There, I like that. Yeah, let me do that again. A desert road from Vegas to nowhere. Yeah, that'll get it. All right, let me make a notation here.
Well, what, are you going to sing it or not?
Hold on for it. Hold your horses, okay?
Hold on, Phil. All right, make a notation there.
Yeah, I like that. Desert road. Okay. A desert road from Vegas to nowhere. A little cafe just around the bend. Make a note of that. A coffee machine that needs some fixing. Just a little cafe to all.
All right, you got the words wrong.
I know it. All right, I must...
Get him out of here, will you, bud?
All right.
I can't hear me, dude. Yeah, that doesn't sound real, man.
Oh, she sounds horrible. If she figures she's going to go and do it that way, and she's doing... What's she doing a play that's 20 years old and a song that's 30 years old and the...
I can't you hear me now.
Unbelievable, man.
Yeah, but she's trying to practice it.
Well, good. She can do it off the air, man. Coming on here and going, make a note of that. Are you kidding me? A little cafe, just a bad day.
Bill Adams, oh, he's laughing about that, man. He's pissed off.
I don't care what pisses him off. Let him be pissed off. Sounded asinine, if you ask me. All right, coming back with our drinking game and more news. Oh, guess who is not going to run for president? What a shock. Not. When we come back here, It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Of course, our website, philhenryshow.com. Right now, you can, if you're looking at the Phil TV, there's our lovely T-shirt. Get it, baby. We got it in all the sizes. Plus, of course, we have our coffee mug. Of course, we have our coffee machine just around the bend. No, the coffee mugs, the shot glasses, and our best-of CDs at philhenryshow.com.
For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
I mean, I'm sorry. I just held up the, there's a picture of Serena Williams in the news today. And Serena Williams is one of the Williams sisters, a great tennis player. And she had a picture up on Twitter that is quite, I think, beautiful. And Serena Williams is a woman with, shall we say, quite the fetching posterior, and she knows it, and there's a picture of her in heels in a silhouette behind curtains, so it's a super sexy picture. Now, they asked her to take it down, and one of the reasons why they asked her to take it down is because there was a little bit of a backlash. I don't know if it was a backlash because she's hot or because, and yeah, that's right, I said hot, and for you guys that don't like a chick with an ass, I don't know what to say. You know, there is help. A psychiatrist, maybe a change of diet. I don't know what you need, man. But people didn't like the picture because she was being stalked. Police had caught the stalker days before. The stalker had used Twitter to track her down. And now she has this picture of herself looking all gorgeous with her beautiful ass in this silhouette. Now, we were discussing this, myself, Rance, Bud, and Robert, and we all came to the same conclusion. You know, stalking is against the law. And while there are things we do to make ourselves safe, and there may be things we do not to make ourselves safe, the fact of the matter is it's against the law, and this woman should be allowed to be the woman that she is in any way she wants to be. And you cannot say, oh, you shouldn't put that picture up because that's going to provoke stalkers, because we're back in the mentality of 1843 when, you know, the boogeyman was causing everything and, you know, the mojo was causing everything and the guns are causing everything and the video games are causing everything and the bad TV is causing everything. The bad TV, the only thing it causes is more bad TV. So you ain't going to tell me that I don't get to look at this because some jackass was stalking her.
Heard that.
In any event, so if you've got Phil TV, there it is. That's just that's a side note here, man, you know.
Well, yeah, but, you know, man, I think that, you know, what about a woman being safe?
Women should be safe. Robert, don't get me wrong. If you dress provocatively, you have every right in the world, and we cannot make the mistake of saying, you got raped because, you got stalked because. We can't do that. Stalking is a mental disease. Any guy that does it has got to, he's sick. He needs to have a baseball bat to rearrange his head, his brains, or whatever the hell else he needs rearranged. That having been said, of course you try to keep yourself safe in a reasonable way. There's a lot of guys in this world that are rude, crude slobs. There's no question about that. But when you cross that line into stalking, rape, anything that obviously is injurious, you don't put that on a woman. You put it on the guy, the individual that's doing it. Okay? So don't tell me that she doesn't have the right. She has every right in the world to put that picture up. If it's, you know, if it's not, you know, doesn't run afoul of obscenity laws, which it doesn't. And that's where that's at, you know.
Yeah, you just want to look at her ass.
You're damn right that's what I want to look at. What if I made any, you know, I'm not trying to make a secret out of that. What do you want to look at?
Well,
yeah, that's a good point, man.
Okay, bud. Anyway, Phil Hendry's show here, and here is the story that we really wanted to kick off with. This is a fascinating story to me, and it will always be, because it's just, I guess it's the story of what might have been. You know, that's always an interesting tale. It's not always the happiest of tales, but it's always a cautionary tale. It's always a tale, I think, that, you know, we can learn from, if you'll pardon the use of the term tale, having just talked about Serena Williams. Anyway, Donald Trump will not be running for president. I think that was probably news. Maybe Donald's the last guy to have gotten that, because I think the rest of us probably figured that one out. And there was a time when Donald Trump could have run for president. There was a time when Donald Trump might have even scored himself the Republican nomination. And there was a time when Donald Trump might have even made a decent run at Barack Obama to be president of the United States. And it wasn't too long ago. But Donald Trump, probably even, you could even make a case Donald Trump blew it even worse than a Hillary Clinton or a Giuliani, except for the fact that he didn't have the big poll numbers those two had, and he didn't have the big lead those two had for the length of time that those two had. But I believe that no one has taken a decent presidential opportunity and butchered it alive as badly as Donald Trump did. This guy, as if he just didn't want to be president. He ended his months-long public flirtation with the 2012 presidential run money, saying that he will not seek the Republican nomination, even though he says he could have won the election. That's Donald Trump, up one side and down the next for you. Oh, yeah, I could win it. No, he couldn't have. He couldn't have won the election after the damage that he did to himself any more than he had anything to do with Barack Obama showing his birth certificate. After considerable deliberation and reflection, I've decided not to pursue the office of the presidency. The decision does not come easily or without regret, especially when my potential candidacy continues to be validated. Blah, 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 blah. I maintain the strong conviction that if I were to run, I would be able to win the primary and the general. Yeah. I've spent the past several months unofficially campaigning. Ultimately, however, business is my greatest passion. Well, here's where Donald Trump can say whatever he wants, and we can certainly listen to these actualities if you want, and then we'll tell you what really happened. At the NBC Upfront's presentation, this is where NBC rolls out what TV shows it's going to have on the air in the fall, and Celebrity Apprentice is one of them, Donald Trump made two announcements. He will return for another season of Celebrity Apprentice, which was not his decision, it was NBC's, but he won't run for president.
This will be our 12th season, and I have to say, I love Celebrity Apprentice. We've raised tens of millions of dollars for charity. We've never raised so much as we have in the last season. I've decided that we are going to continue onward with Celebrity Apprentice. We're going to continue making lots and lots of money for charity. I will not be running for president as much as I'd like
Yay.
To. And I want to thank everybody very much.
People
thank
applauding
you
that.
Very much.
Anyway, Sid Dinerstein, head of the Republican Party. Is that the cat's real name?
Yeah, that's what I figured out.
Sid Dinerstein, head of the Republican Party of Palm Beach County, told WBFB-TV the race for president 2012 will not be very exciting without Trump.
It means we're going to be a little more boring as we select our nominee. That was the advantage of having Donald Trump in the race. He says things other people won't say, and most Republicans don't say a lot of things they ought to say. So that would have been an advantage. He would have made everybody a little bolder and more outspoken.
WBFB-TV spoke to West Palm Beach, Florida voters asking why they think Trump isn't running.
Because he's more of an entertainer, and he's a happy, rich man with a happy family. And I just think he doesn't need to be president.
I think he just does things sometimes to just shock people, but also to get people thinking.
Here's why he's not going to run for president, because he blew it out of the gate. He blew it by making an issue of Barack Obama. Now, when I say out of the gate, what I mean is when people started to get interested in him as a possible viable candidate for president, they got interested in him because he made, as we've often said on the show and will continue to say, he made very relevant, intelligent, challenging statements about the economy, about America's place in the international scene, about America's place vis-a-vis the international economy, about American trade with China, about China carrying American debt, about OPEC, about the oil, energy resources, or lack thereof, the United States, and how we could address all of these problems. He did it with confidence. He was very inspiring, I think, when he spoke. And he also, I thought, when he spoke of those issues, he did it in a way at the very beginning that did not necessarily polarize people in a partisan way. You could be a Democrat listening to what he was saying, or a Republican listening to what he was saying. He was talking business. That's what Donald Trump was talking. He wasn't talking politics. And it was refreshing. And it, if ever there was a case to be made for a man from the world of business to be president, and the case has been, you know, made off and on down to the history of this country, everywhere from the H. Ross Perot's of the world to the John D. Rockefeller's of the world. Oh, yeah, every now and again, they want to put a businessman up for president of the United States. Oh, look at this guy, runs a business so fantastic. And, of course, you know, sometimes cooler heads prevail and they say, well, it's not quite the same thing running a business as being president of the United States. Nonetheless, Donald Trump got out of the gate, I think, very smartly and then stumbled, as they say, in the horse racing game, having just seen the Kentucky Derby a little more than a week ago. He stumbled. He stumbled when he started talking about Obama's birth certificate. He didn't need to do that. There's plenty of other people doing that. Plenty of other people doing that. Now, some people might say he was talking about the birth certificate as a signal to the rest of us that he's not really serious to be president. Donald Trump is not in this world to make himself look stupid. Donald Trump doesn't get out of bed in the morning to go out there and make himself look like a clown. Donald Trump wants to promote Celebrity Apprentice, yeah, but he's not going to do it at the expense of his image as an intelligent man, as a reasonable voice on the American scene, as a potential leader, you know, of this country. He's not going to go out there and become somebody's birther clown. He made a tactical error. It was more than just a tactical error. It was self-immolation, and it was surprising. It showed that Trump, for all of his business savvy, doesn't understand politics. When he went out there and said Obama this and Obama that about the birth certificate, you saw, you wanted to ask yourself, who the hell have I been listening to for the last 2 months? Is this guy stupid or something? The answer is yes. Yeah. For as smart as he is when it comes to politics, Donald Trump's an idiot. And then he followed it up after Obama came out with the birth certificate by claiming that it was he that forced Obama's hand. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. I mean, if Donald Trump hadn't have been there, the noise about the birth certificate was going to continue, and sooner or later, Obama was going to release that birth certificate. Then he followed that up with something about Obama's grade. So in other words, what this guy did was what we don't want in this country. He went from talking about issues that we were in love with it and we liked it, and he sounded smarter than any other clown we were listening to in those days, to going to the lowest common denominator and talking about Obama. Who cares? I got it already about Obama. I know what's wrong with Obama. I've heard up 6 ways to sunset what's wrong with Obama. I've heard about this is wrong with Obama and that's wrong with Obama. That's great. Obama, 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 Obama. Now tell me what's right about you. And I don't want to just hear the same thing over and over and over again. I don't want to keep hearing some guy say, all we got to do is cut taxes. Because if all we got to do is cut taxes, why do I got to, why even have a primary? Just any guy that says cut taxes. If that's the guy's plan, I don't need Romney. Anybody. Paul, he'll cut taxes. So Donald Trump starts going on about Obama's grades, so he still doesn't get it. He's still talking about Obama until finally the raid that killed bin Laden also killed Donald Trump. Because Trump, that night, that Saturday night, was sitting there at that correspondence meeting, staring at Obama with a frown on his face as Obama was trying to have some fun with him. The birther thing. And there's Trump staring at him like, I'm going to get you, like Trump's some formidable guy. Trump got his ass handed to him. And it wasn't so much that Obama did it. It was that the history did it. The timing, the events of the world did it. When that bin Laden raid went down, the whole world was Obama's stage again. And Donald Trump was some jackass worried about a birth certificate. And that's what killed Donald Trump. It isn't that he thought about it and decided he wants to do Celebrity Apprentice. Donald Trump's ego is presidential size. It's national politics size. It's the national stage size. He's not some clown on television. But he's got nothing else because he blew it when he could have been a viable candidate for president of the United States. What, bud?
Yay! That was fun, man.
Are you guys being sarcastic?
No, but you got to go to the break.
I know I got to go to the break.
I figured if you give me an applause track.
All right, we'll go to the break. Anyway, enough about that guy. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I didn't even do the drinking game thing yet, have I?
No, who cares?
I do. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, our final segment of the show tonight. Excuse me. That was a joke.
Yeah, Mrs. Dooley belched.
Yeah, I know Mrs. Dooley belched. You're the guy that should be on the phone with her telling her not to belch. Okay, the drinking game, apparently, Robert, you know more about it than I do.
Yeah, well, some guy said that every time you screw up the phone number, they take a drink.
Was that the Friday night show?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What happens on Friday night when we do our local show, I give our national phone number out. And I always do it. And it's gotten to the point now where they're taking a hit. You got to take a pop every time I give out the wrong phone number. And I would have to say, on any given Saturday night, I will be saying, instead of the 1-800-5201 number that I give for the local station, I give out the national 877-876-7445, probably about a half a dozen times.
So that's a half a dozen shots they got to take.
Yeah, depending upon the drinking game, you're either slamming shots or you're doing something. So every time Phil butchers the phone number, there you go. I don't know. Don Lemon comes out in his book, Transparent. The CNN weekend anchor, Don Lemon, is gay.
Hey!
Don't do that. CNN weekend anchor, Don Lemon, Don Lemon is gay. Pardon me if I'm joking about it, but isn't it sort of, it's becoming old news, isn't it?
About what? About Don Lemon? No.
No, not Don Lemon, but about just any celebrity. I think it's important. I think people that are gay should come out, because I think the more people that are gay that come out, the tougher it is for people that are opposed to, for instance, you know, gay marriage and things like that, to say this is some sort of an aberrant, whack, weird, squirrely, you know, sick lifestyle or whatever it is they say, because, you know.
Yeah, but you know, all the guys on TV, everybody on TV is gay.
Not everybody on TV. You got to be kidding me, right?
No, he's kidding.
Well, but I mean, everyone that come out gay is on TV.
Who?
Lance Bass.
Lance Bass was in a singing group. He was on TV. He was also a lot of other places. Who else?
Melissa Etheridge and
Ellen DeGeneres.
Ellen DeGeneres is TV.
Fine. Everybody on TV is gay. Anyway, CNN weekend anchor Don Lemon explains why he's coming out as gay in an interview with CNN's Brooke Baldwin, who's also gay.
I figured if I'm...
No, she isn't. I'm just kidding. Here is Don Lemon.
I figured if I'm going to be a journalist and I'm going to ask people to tell me the truth,
right,
and I'm going to try to expose truth, then I need to be truthful about who I am. Not that it's some confession that I need to make. I'm not ashamed of who I am.
Yeah.
And you know, Brooke, certainly you and I are friends, and you certainly know about me.
Yeah.
And most people at work do know about me, but it's not something you people talk about. It's like the neighbor. It used to be, oh, my neighbors are really nice people. Do you know they're black? And you whisper about it, but it's something you don't say. So why not talk about it?
Then he went on Larry King's show, and Larry asked,
are you gay?
And he said no. So,
did?
No. By the way, Don got that whole whisper thing from my mother, who was talking about her Aunt Gladys. Now, anyway, I abhor hypocrisy, Lemon told the New York Times, especially that spick Rick Sanchez. He didn't say that.
Oh, man, are you sure?
He didn't say that. I abhor hypocrisy, Lemon told the New York Times. I think if you're going to be in the business of news and telling people the truth, of trying to shed light in dark places, then you've got to be honest. You've got to have the same rules for yourself as you do for everyone else, Rick. Rick Sanchez is gay. The
really?
No, not really. Will you just pay attention? Excuse me, man. The 45-year-old anchor's book chronicles his personal life, growing up without a father and being molested as a child by a teenage male neighbor.
Uh-oh.
Now it got serious. Good Lord. And his career as he worked at a local station in Philadelphia, Chicago, and New York before starting at CNN. God. He was cautious about detailing his personal life in the book, a project that was just supposed to be an inspirational pamphlet. I'm talking about something that people might shun me for, ostracize me. He said he was scared about coming out. Lemon made no secret of his sexual orientation. Co-workers and managers knew he was gay, and the network had assured him of support, he said, but he is being fired tomorrow because they can't take the heat. No.
God, man, I'm going to get on the phone.
No. All right, Don, congratulations, man. We're screwing around, but good job. And one more thing.
Are you gay?
All right, the Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Technical direction, of course, by John Ilk. And our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show's strong right arm. PhilHendryShow.com for all your Phil Hendry Show needs. See you tomorrow. Or tonight. Or tomorrow.
And that's just the way it is.
Phil Hendry.